Today on Real Radio.
Jonah's running the show to a point. God is behind it the whole way. And God knew before little Jonah was ever born what God was going to do. By the way, God knows exactly what he's going to do tomorrow in your life and in my life. And you might say, well, if that's true, then I'm just going to give up and do my own thing. Don't be a Jonah. You could get swallowed by a fish. Because you belong to him, God will work his will in your life. It's much easier to obey, Samuel told Saul, than to sacrifice. But not Jonah. No, he's going to do his thing.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Jonah. Now, we all have within each of us a bit of Jonah. Besides the part about the oversized fish, we all walk away from this account remembering the lessons learned about running from the will of God. Well, now we're about to hear the beginning of a study called Living in the Will of God. We're still in the first chapter, but it's the part where Jonah finally gets the picture and that there's only one way to solve the crisis he and the crewmen are in, which was brought on by Jonah himself. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Living in the Will of God.
Jonah had no idea that his living in the will of God would wind up putting him in the belly of a great fish. But sometimes in our own lives, if we're living in the will of God, we may wind up in places and in ways that we were not planning on. And, you know, if you're anything like me, and I know we're exactly alike as people, we really are. There's some side differences of who you and I are, right? We look a little different. We may see things a little different. But the bottom line is who we are in the way how we relate to God and to life. There are some great similarities. And Jonah was a prophet of God. He was a man of God. But when he had heard the news that God wanted him to deliver a message to the Ninevite people, he was not willing to do that. Why? Because, as we shall continue to learn in this book, Jonah did not want the unbelieving Ninevites, the Assyrians, to come to know God. He did not want them to know the love of God. He didn't want them to know the forgiveness of God. And so Jonah was fighting and warring against God's will in his life. You can be a believer, you can be a Christian this morning and be kicking or warring against the will of God. But because you are his, God will see to it that in time, by the way, we hold the key to that timing, in time we will see things as he desires. The longer we dig in, the longer it's going to take for us to learn. The sooner we give up, the quicker we understand. Jonah chapter 1, and we begin this morning in verse 11 down to verse 17. It says, then they said to him, that is those that are on the ship, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord and said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. And do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. A radical thing for sure. Notice in your Bible that Jonah would much rather perish, he would rather die than obey the will of God. And yet it's God's will that is perfect for our lives. You and I battle with this. Why do we battle with this? It comes down to two things. Number one, we think we know better. Number two, we don't think that God loves us as much as the Bible says he does. We think that because God is invisible, because we by faith must receive the truth that he loves us, if we're not walking in faith, we begin to try to manipulate our own lives. We try to talk ourselves into running the show. Jonah's running the show to a point. God is behind it the whole way, and God knew before little Jonah was ever born what God was going to do. By the way, God knows exactly what he's going to do tomorrow in your life and in my life. And you might say, well, if that's true, then I'm just going to give up and do my own thing. Don't be a Jonah. You could get swallowed by a fish. Because you belong to him, God will work his will in your life. It's much easier to obey, Samuel told Saul, than to sacrifice. But not Jonah. No, he's going to do his thing. And so we look at a few things this morning, and I would ask you to consider this. Living in the will of God, well, verses 11 to 13 teaches us that there's reasons for life's storms. There's reason for the storms. And all of us have storms. Jonah's got his storm. The people on the ship, they got their storm, and we have our storm. And God will see to it. And so what we want to look at this in verse 11 is that there are unavoidable troubles in life, meaning you're not going to get away from them. We are in this life, and look, even if you're not a Christian this morning, you're going to have troubles. The Christians got troubles. You got troubles. I got troubles. All God's children got troubles. But the truth is, every human being has troubles. This life is troublesome. This life is evil. This life is dangerous. It's a tough world out there. It's a tough world in here. We live this life. And in living this life, God has a will for us to obey and to follow. And if we do his will, so much of what we argue about goes away because God is for us. But there are unavoidable troubles. It says in verse 11, then they said to him, so the sailors, the mariners say to Jonah, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. Underline the word growing for a moment. We won't spend any time on it other than this. Growing. The storm is getting worse. They know, and we know this from the word structure of the Hebrew of Jonah, that the storm has already been determined to be supernatural, and that is by the mariners, these pagan unbelievers. They see a storm that is beyond them. There's never been a storm like this in all of history. And they are in it, and they know it. But not only that, it's getting worse. The storm's getting worse. You might think, well, maybe this is the peak of the storm and it's going to subside. Not true. This storm is getting worse. Have you ever been in a turbulent situation like this? Ever? Maybe not so much in a ship. I don't know how many of us go out into the sea. But I have been in a small airplane. It was a 12-seater. We were flying up to John Corson's church, actually. And we got in a storm. And I mean, this storm was so bad. There were people, and the sad thing is we all knew each other. But there were people just throwing up all over this multi-million dollar aircraft. It was just, oh no. And then when somebody starts throwing up, then you start going, I mean, I was fine. I was fine in the plane. And then, and it's like, oh, man. And you start thinking about, you know, happy thoughts. And I mean, the plane was everywhere. And our pilot was an ex-carrier pilot. And it was a brutal storm. And we were dropping hundreds of feet at a time. And the plane was getting twisted. It was unbelievable. Worst thing I've ever been in my life. And in fact, from the plane, Lisa and I were just so concerned because, you know, we're going to go down. And Lord, you know, I want to make sure my life is right with you. I mean, we're going through all those things. And then you look at our friends and they're just in these bags, you know, it was horrible. And then we really knew we were in trouble when the pilot, he was a retired Navy carrier pilot. He turns and he says, do you need to be at that church now? Because I just want to let you know that soon we could be risking our lives. Land the plane. Divert. Whatever you need to do. And we got out of that thing. But man, we were coming into landing and it was so stormy. And we're poking through the clouds. And when we looked down, we saw treetops too close to the plane. And that's when we said, you know what? Let's go find a place where the sun's shining. They couldn't do that on this boat. They couldn't say, you know, turn right and we'll sail out of this fog. It wasn't fog. It was a divine storm by the hand of God. In our lives, storms come by the divine hand of God. We need to remember that in our lives. Whatever that storm might be in our lives. But I wonder how often the world is a spectator to what God is doing in the lives of his people. You guys, listen, chances are your neighbor, you didn't bring them today, chances are, they're at home. They know you're a Christian. They're watching your life. And when your life is pressured and when the troubles, the unavoidable troubles of life come crashing in, they're going to be watching. They watch you and I. They're looking. It's been often said, and it's a great statement. The world may never read the Bible, but they're reading your life. It's the only Bible they'll ever read is your life and in my life. So what kind of reading are we to them? They cry out to Jonah and they say, what shall we do? Isn't that a great question? What shall we do? Ah, I can now begin to entertain the thought that unavoidable troubles of life can lead to the non-believers around me asking this question, what shall we do? Didn't we have that during September 11th? What shall we do? Don't we have that when our neighbors are in great peril? They may ask, will you pray? What shall we do? So we see that through troubles. And nobody signs up for troubles, right? We're just going to sign up for them. They can find us quite easily. But when they come, who are we as Christians? Who are we as God's people? God brings troubles in our lives, even when we are walking, living perfectly in his will. Some of you need to hear this. Oh, please, please divorce yourself from this heresy. Well, a bad thing happened to me. I must not have enough faith. This thing came into my life because God must be angry at me. Not true. It is possible for us to run from the will of God and troublesome times come. That's true. But the Bible also says this too shall pass. So be careful before you condemn yourself. Maybe God is working in your life, in my life. What trial are you involved in? There are unavoidable troubles of life. God will see to it. But God is always executing his perfect plan, even in the midst of storms. I believe this, by the way. I believe, and I think it's biblically based, that God will deal in the affairs of nations for his people. I believe that. If you don't believe that, look at the nation Israel. You know, Israel was a nation, then it ceased to be a nation for nearly 2,000 years. And then on May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation a second time. No other nation in all the history of mankind has ever become a nation a second time. God deals with nations. Bill reminded me after the announcements that Russia, concerning the Jesus film, Russia has thousands of copies of that video that was implemented into the Russian school system. I remember when that happened. God manipulates nations to bring about his will. Now, you may find that not so big of a thing. You know, who cares? Russia's a long ways away. What do I care? I tell you what, you ought to care, because for 70 plus years, you couldn't have such an open message like that in Russia. And in 1990, God, through political means and through financial means, brought that nation to a point where it had to open its doors. And what was the first thing in? Well, it wasn't money. That came later. Christians were lining up. In fact, I physically remember when Bill Bright came home from Russia and contacted Calvary Chapel Ministries through Chuck Smith and said, listen, there are millions of young people who don't know Christ, and Calvary Chapels need to get in there and reach them. And I remember hearing about that, and 2 months later, standing in Red Square preaching the gospel. God uses nations for his perfect will to bring about his plan in the lives of his children. Not only that, but governments. God will raise up presidents and kings and queens, and he'll take them down, the book of Daniel says. I believe that God is in the affairs of governments and then of companies. Don't raise your hand because you'll probably be mugged afterwards with job requests. But do you own a company? Are you a company owner? And you're a Christian? God has not only called you to operate that company, but don't be surprised if God has also positioned you that you might be an employer that brings and allows people to come to Christ. Maybe you've got a Christian on your staff or in your company. And God is using your Christian company to reach the world and other Christians. Or most of us, we work for a non-Christian company, but we're Christians. And God will keep, listen, I love to say this. I believe what I'm saying so much that God will even cause that godless company to be benefited by God to keep Christians employed. Hey, if you're a non-Christian this morning or you're listening in, listen, consider this, hire Christians. Hire Christians, by the way, they should be your best workers. If they're not, fire them. Hey, I mean it. Christians should be your best employees, and God will bless your company because you've hired Christians. I've seen this happen. What about personal affairs? God will work in the lives of people privately, within a family, within friendships. God will move in such a way that God will affect personal affairs. But these pagan sailors were stuck in between, watch this, the God of Israel and a Hebrew prophet. God was speaking, he was trying to reach Jonah, and these non-believers were stuck right in the middle. And I want to suggest to you that's exactly how it is in the world today. God is moving in this world. Hey, we know God, we belong to God. So you got God on this side, you got us on the other side, and you got a world in between us. And to me, that's exciting. Think of the opportunities. Another evangelistic opportunity for Jonah. Watch him. They come and say, what shall we do? Well, wouldn't it have been great if Jonah would have said, repent and believe on the Lord and you'll be saved. He could have pulled out the four spiritual laws. He could have even used the Jesus film. He didn't. He doesn't say anything evangelistically. What do we do? They're crying out. The world is saying, what do we do? Throw me overboard. Jonah, give them the answer. Lead them to Christ. No. Remember, he doesn't want any Gentiles coming to know God. What a funny guy this guy is. God used Jonah in spite of him. Doesn't God use us in spite of us? Lord, I don't want to do this. And then you find yourself doing it. You say, Pastor, right there, draw the line. That's it. I'm afraid to yield to God because he might tell me to move to Detroit or something. Or Bangladesh, I don't know. I'm afraid to yield to him because he might call me. Listen, be open to the will of God, and here's what happens. There will not be a Jonah situation in your life. Because if you're open to what God wants to do, he puts Detroit in your heart. You're going to get posters of Detroit. You're going to go online to Detroit. And then you're going to start praying for Detroit. And you're going to fall in love with Detroit. And then you're going to be crying out to God, God, give me Detroit or else I perish. And God says, go. And here's how we are. Go to Detroit. God, do you really want me to go? Have you noticed that's how we are? Oh, God, let me go on this mission trip. Oh, God, the team's going to Mexico this week. Let me, oh, God. And then God says, go to Mexico. Lord, now I'm really going to wait on your will to see what you're really saying. We're all reckless until God says go. Then we get so conservative. It's so funny. We are funny people. But Jonah, it was that grand moment in Matthew 5:16 that Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. By the way, the implication of that word is Jesus is saying, shine the fact that you know me and I know you while you're living in this world, and a godless, unbelieving world will give God the glory. Now, that's amazing. I don't know how that's played out. I honestly don't know. Because I've never had the world ever say, we're so glad you guys were worshiping so loud and so clear. And that, oh, that message was so convicting. Hallelujah. The world doesn't say that. They say, why don't you shut up and get out of here? I'm going to knock you out, you Christian. Could it be, though, that he takes the wrath of men to praise his name? Ooh, could it be that when the city says, no more praying in Jesus' name, that God will take that to bring glory to his name? After all, they didn't say we couldn't pray in Buddha's name. They didn't say we couldn't pray in somebody else's name. It's just that name that always gets people in trouble. The name of Jesus. It's amazing. Let your light so shine. Ladies, you know this. We don't know, guys, we don't know this so much, but you know this, ladies, really well. When you're in the mall or wherever and you go by the little jewelry thing, the Zales, the whatever it is, Cartier, they always have the diamonds with very, very certain special halogen lighting on it against what kind of a background? Black. All the girls said, black. Because we don't know, us guys, it's like, what background? We didn't even see the background. Because a diamond looks more awesome when it's set against a black background. Jesus says, let your light so shine. Because behind us is a black world. Just stand there and glow for God. Because the world is so dark. When we live for God, when we walk with God, we will glow. God will see to it that somehow we glow in their eyes and in their minds. You look at the stars. Those stars are always there. Did you know that? They're there 24 hours a day. They're always there. But you can't see them unless the background is black. But they're always shining. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink and whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Christian, whatever we do, do to the glory of God. Jonah, what are you doing? Well, God will say, don't panic. Don't worry. It will be to the glory of God. It's just Jonah makes it so hard on himself.
Like Joseph in the Old Testament said, what you meant for evil, God used for good. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation called Living in the Will of God, a study taken from the last 7 verses of Jonah chapter 1. It's part of our teacher's series on the Old Testament narrative of Jonah, where we can learn some valuable lessons on the consequences of resisting the will of our Almighty Maker. We'll continue with this series in Jonah on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now we hope that you've been enjoying and benefiting from this verse-by-verse journey through Jonah. And in fact, for your own review and personal study, we're making available to you this 11 CD set. Our offer is quite simple. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll be glad to send you this series. All of which you contribute goes toward the various costs associated with bringing to you this daily program, and it's all tax deductible. Whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention the title, simply Jonah. In fact, you can pay us a visit at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you'd like to give us a call, we now have a new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. Again, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us and send your donation to Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Just be sure and mention the title of the CD series, Jonah. And of course, any of this contact information that you may have missed can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.